Let us pray.
Father, we come now to hear your word, for we know it is your word and your word alone that grants us life and forgiveness and joy and peace in your presence. So, Lord, open our ears, calm our hearts, focus our minds, that we might receive what it is that you have for us this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it is Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem to begin the last week of his earthly life. And as I imagine that scene playing out in my mind, I see a character. He's not mentioned in the Bible, so I'll just call him Caleb. And Caleb is taking in the scene as Jesus and the rest of the Palm Sunday parade passes by. And in my mind, Caleb's played a key role in this whole situation. You see, Caleb is an advance man. You know what that is. If the president comes to visit, he's going to send a team ahead of him to make sure everything is prepared for his arrival. They'll set up the security and they'll plot the path and make sure all the right people are in all the right places. And I imagine Caleb being Jesus' advance man, probably hired by Judas Iscariot to kind of help things along here. And as I think about this, I'm sure Caleb probably patterned his plan after the last time a great king had entered Jerusalem. 300 years before, Alexander the Great came to Jerusalem on his way to conquering the world. And all the leaders of Jerusalem, the religious and political leaders and the social elite, came out of Jerusalem to meet him before he arrived, to welcome him. The crowds lined the streets and called out to Alexander, praising him as if he were a god, something Alexander actually encouraged. They held the palm fronds, the symbol of Israel's nation. And the crowds paid homage to the great king, Alexander. And so Caleb plans out, similar to Alexander, that he will set Jesus up as the next great king of Israel. But as he watches on, he realizes something's not right. Something's not right at all. In fact, as he sees this Palm Sunday parade, he realizes this isn't great and glorious. It's actually rather humble. Where did the donkey come from? Caleb had arranged to rent out a great war horse from one of his buddies in the Roman Legion, and yet Jesus is on a donkey. No one has ever looked strong and powerful on a donkey. No one has ever looked anything but silly on a donkey. The crowds are there. But all those invitations to Pilate and to Herod and to the high priest seem to have gone unanswered. They're completely absent. The crowds do call out to Jesus, Hosanna, which could be a form of praise, and yet literally it simply means God saves or save us. It almost sounds like a demand from the crowds for Jesus to do something to make our lives better. And the end of the day may be the most disappointing at all. There's no going to Herod's palace to claim the throne. There's no even going to the temple to offer a sacrifice to win favor with the religious leaders. Jesus goes to the temple. He looks around and says, well, let's call it a day. This was nothing like Caleb had hoped. Caleb is thinking, what in the world is Jesus thinking? And that's just the question that Paul wants you to ask. What in the world is Jesus thinking? In Philippians 2, Paul says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Have this mind. This is the third time in Philippians 2 Paul has mentioned the mind of Christ. It helps to back up a little bit before our reading. Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2 says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Paul's saying, each of you needs to have the mind of Christ. so that all y'all, that's the Texas Standard Version, so that all y'all are of one mind, the mind of Christ. And then he goes on to describe, what does this mind of Christ look like? Well, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look to his, only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. The mind of Christ is humble, considering others more important than ourselves. It's looking out for the interest of others, not just our own interest. Paul says, have this mind. But we're immediately faced with a dilemma. To try to have the mind of Christ, to grab on to humility is like grabbing on to water. The more you focus on humility, the tighter you try to grasp humility, it seems the less of it you end up with. C.S. Lewis described the dilemma this way. He says, do not imagine that if you meet a really humble man, he will be what most people call humble nowadays. He will not be a sort of greasy, smarmy person who is always telling you that, of course, he is a nobody. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. How are we to become more humble without thinking about humility? How are we to get this mind of Christ, this humility that sees others as more important than ourselves, when the very fact of thinking about how we're trying to make others more important than ourselves kind of puts us at the center? Paul has an answer. He says, don't look to yourselves. Don't look to your own humility. Look to Jesus. And in this great, what we think was an early hymn or early poem in the church, Paul describes the glory of the humility of Christ. He says this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It says, Jesus did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held onto and utilized for your own purposes, like Alexander did. What do we see when we look to Jesus? What do we see in particular when we look to Jesus this Holy Week? We see Jesus riding on a donkey. What in the world is Jesus thinking? Jesus is thinking Zechariah 9:9. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Is he, and yet he is humble and mounted on a donkey. Jesus is announcing that, in fact, he is the king that brings salvation, but he is unlike any other king you have ever known. He is not like Alexander. He comes humble. He comes for you. We move to Maundy Thursday. We go with Jesus to the upper room, and we find him washing feet. We find him considering others more important than himself. We find him doing the most menial task a servant could do. We find him washing Peter's feet, who will deny him. We find him washing Judas's feet, who will betray him. We find him washing the feet of all the disciples, who will abandon him. We find Jesus counting others more important than himself. We see Jesus on Friday making his way to the cross, carrying his cross. But of course, not just the cross he carries the sins of every sinner. And we look to Jesus on the cross, and there we see him beaten, bruised, bloodied for you, in your place, displaying God's love for you. This is your God who loves you and dies for you. And in the midst of the worst suffering a human could ever suffer, we find Jesus looking for the interest of others. As he tells John, John, this is now your mother, Mary. Mary, this is now your son, John. John, take care of my mom, will you? Incredible that in the depths of his suffering, he's still thinking of others. You see, to take on the mind of Christ, to become humble, we look not to ourselves, but we look to Jesus. But there's more. It's not just that we look to Jesus, but we look to Jesus and learn from him to do what he did. You'll recall when Jesus finished washing the disciples' feet, he said, I've given you example that you should also go and wash the feet of others. For he says, a servant is not greater than his master. We do the menial tasks that really no one else wants to do because that's what Jesus did. When we see Jesus carrying his cross to be crucified, we're reminded of the words he had already spoken to all who would consider being his disciple. He said, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. To bear a cross is to die to ourselves, to our self-interest, to seeking our own glory. Peter Kreef said this, even though we do not all physically give our blood, yet in giving our time, we all give our life, for life is time, life, time. We hear Jesus' words from the gospel reading, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it. We don't die for the sins of the world. We can't, as Jesus did, but he does call us to die to ourselves, that we may live to him. So we look to Jesus, and we do what Jesus did. And it's in the doing of what he did that we learn his way, his mind, his heart, his humility. O Caleb, our advanced man, knew something was wrong with the parade, but it wasn't what he thought. Caleb wanted a triumphal entry. He wanted glory, power, strength. What he got was Jesus riding on a donkey. He missed the point, as many missed the point that day. The glory was coming, but first a cross. We miss the point of the Palm Sunday parade if we simply look upon Jesus and recognize he's so humble and then go home to keep living the lives we've always lived, seeking our own glory, putting ourselves first, ignoring those people and tasks that seem beneath us. We miss the point of Palm Sunday if we remain on the sidelines as a spectator, an observer, dotting our theological I's and crossing our theological T's as if Christianity were just one more philosophy, one more belief system. We miss the point of Palm Sunday if we remain on the sidelines saying, I'm just a poor sinner. I could never be a part of this parade. That's false humility. That ignores the fact that in Romans 8, Paul tells us that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within each of you, imparting a new life, a new desire, a new power, a new strength, a new mind, the very mind of Christ. No, the only way to get Palm Sunday wrong is to remain on the sideline, to be a spectator to the Palm Sunday parade. Palm Sunday is the reminder your king has come for you, humble, putting your interest before his own. Your king has come for you, and he gave up his glory to come for you. He gave up the glory of heaven. He gave up the glory of his rightful place as king and Lord. He humbled himself to be a servant for you. He gave up his glory, and he gave up his blood. He gave up his blood on the cross, for it is the blood that atones for your sins, that you might be declared forgiven for the sake of Christ. He gave up his glory and he gave up his blood. How do you respond to such a king? You join the parade. You take a step off the sideline. You leave the crowds behind and you take your place in following your humble king. To go where he went, to do what he did. Knowing full well that it leads to a cross, but not just to a cross. That death will humble us all, but those who follow Jesus will be raised again to glory in the resurrection that Christ has given to us in his name. So my invitation to you this morning, as you enter this Holy Week, as you engage in this Palm Sunday, that you do so not as a spectator, but as a participant. That you join the parade, that you consider what does it look like for you this week to take another step off the sideline and into following the life of your king, learning from him, his mind, his heart, his ways, that you too may know the glory of his resurrection. We pray. Father, such a great request, but it's one you've called us to, that you would lead us, that you would lead us into this Palm Sunday parade, that we wouldn't just take in more information or make some observations or enjoy the excitement of the day, but that we might follow your Son, Jesus Christ, wherever he leads, trusting that he will provide all that is necessary to live and walk in him in this life, in the great hope that though death humbles us all, you have overcome death. The great hope that one day we will be raised again, that we will join the procession of saints gathered around your throne. That day there will be glory. Jesus will be in his rightful place, receiving his rightful honor. Lord, until that day, would you strengthen us in faith? Would you sustain us in the way? Would you keep us in the way that we might know the mind of Christ? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.